So how's your R100 treating you?
It's good. I actually so when I put this down on the show notes, I was actually it's been a roller coaster of emotions. So when I put it on the show notes was after I skated that office park, and man, they're just so long that I kept clipping, like, oh, you know, my front wheel and my back wheel, and that was just frustrating, you know, because I've seen you know, Joey and Sean and Leon and, you know, all the wizard skaters skate them, and, you know, you never see them clipping, of course, but I'm sure that if you get used to it, you don't clip, you know, if that's all you skate. But I'm jumping between that and balance frames and a rocker, so it's a very different, you know, feeling. And I don't know. I was not in the best of moods after that skate session because I just clipped so many times, and I was like, God, this sucks, you know. And the axles were getting loose, and I was like, this is just no good. But then last weekend, I went to the Durham. I don't know what it's called, Central Park, I guess. But they have they have a farmer's market there, and it's covered, so you can skate there in the rain. And the pavement is like smooth and polished, so it's like really smooth and clean. And I was practicing, you know, flatland tricks and gazelles and stuff. And then I was doing some slides, and they felt amazing. Like, I'm so torn in these skates, you know, like when they work great. And when I have a really good time with them, I have a great time. But, you know, just that one clip, and it's like a slap in the face from reality, where it's like, dude, these, you know, these are flat, you know, 4x100s. Like, your wheelbase is 320 or whatever the wheelbase is, you know. You're used to 250 with 58 mil wheels. Like, there is a big difference between the setup, you know. It's rockered, so it feels good when I'm cornering and stuff. So I don't have any problem skating. It's just the physical skating with them that are the issue. Did you ever clip with your when you did the wizards or?
Not necessarily, but I also came from skiing. Like I learned how to ski before I ever learned how to rollerblade. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had like the usefulness of that, but I also had that in mind that I didn't want to clip.
Right.
So I tried to be very careful about where I placed my feet and everything like that. And I don't think I did.
Mm.
I don't recall doing so. And if I did, it was probably so embarrassing that I blocked it out of my memory.
I have that hockey background. and with hockey, it's like, I don't know. It's probably just bad habits or good habits. I don't know. But my crossovers are fast, you know? And they're short, and they're I don't want much time with 1 foot on the ice. You know, I want to have 2 feet on the ice as often as I can. That's very different with inline skating. I'm still torn. I keep thinking that I want to start, you know, writing some notes on the review, but it's like, I'm not ready for that. Because I have a good day, I have a bad day, I have a good day, I have a bad day. Like, what's the answer going to be? You know, where am I going to end up with these R100s?
I think you'll end up overall with a positive outlook on them.
I just don't know what I'm going to do with them. Like, I love the idea of skating around town, like, I don't know, like free skating, but I feel like I'd be more comfortable with a 4x80 setup like you have with your Kazis.
Yeah. And that is a really great setup. Like I was kind of over it, to be honest, for a while.
Uh-huh.
Like once I got to the 3x110 and then since I skated it again and then went to 3x100, I'm kind of like the 80s a little better, to be honest.
Yeah, it's so fun.
But at the same time, I'm skating them on Trinities, and, you know, I'm not in the best of shape, so that makes it easier to maneuver and everything like that. Maybe after I do a little bit of training and stuff like that and get a little stronger, sure. I'll definitely be in a different mindset with that.
So what are your setups now? So I'm on those R100s on the Sebas. And then I'm on, technically my V13s with the balanced frames and 58s, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do for anti-rocker now. Like I think I'm done with the Volos. I think they're fine, but I think I really want to skate the Seba again for street. Cause I really liked that. You have the Kazi. What else are you skating?
Well, I still have my Aeons.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got the Kazis. I got the 3x100 set up now, and I also have the 4x80s, which the 4x80s have hyper concrete wheels, the G Plus.
Okay.
And that's the only non power slide product. That's actually not terribly true. So the only non power slide product that I bought that sure. I have, but I actually just got your Wish frames.
With the
Go projects. And I got a pair of Shadow 2.0s that I set one of the frames onto, and I'm kind of dreading skating them, to be perfectly honest, because I remember how they felt. So I'm trying to figure out if a couple of the local guys have some 1.0 cuffs, because I think that might make for a little better of a time for me. But I'm going to see if I can try to find somebody that has some of those, or if somebody that's hearing this has some 1.0 cuffs and they'd be willing to trade 2.0 cuffs for. Maybe we can work something out. Send me a message backtoblading.com/contact.
Easy. Yeah, no problem. I'll forward anything over to you. What's awesome. The difference between the 1.0 and the 2.0? Because I'm not a shadow guy.
The 1.0s had no articulated cuff.
Okay.
And then the 2.0s have the cuff bolts and everything like that. So it gives you a different flex point, which... For all the similarities in like the way that you strap them to yourself and everything like that, like to me they felt like two entirely different skates, which is probably exactly what they were looking for when it came down to it. But I really think that the ideal setup, if I was going to skate shadows, would be like the 2.0 soles and the old cuffs. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy trying to get a hold of some of those cuffs nowadays.
Yeah. What about the new shadows? What cuffs are those?
If I recall correctly from ISPO, I think we were seeing both cuffs, both the old and the new ones, the 1.0 and 2.0. So,
I wonder if those will be available.
Well, if you hit up your BFF, maybe they'll tell you.
I gotta get some shadows. Eventually, I'll get some shadows. I just gotta learn about shadows. There's so much like. Knowledge that I don't know about shadows.
It was a great setup for me, especially in where I was in like my skating time, so to speak. So like I had a pair a little before a year after getting back into blading.
Uh-huh.
So like I was still progressing, I was still learning new tricks and everything like that, still trying new stuff. And the whole, like, you are now allowed to evolve thing, I think it you're now ready to evolve, whatever the little tagline was years ago.
Yeah.
That really made sense for me because I really did. Like, I did so much weird stuff in those things.
Yeah.
Like, I learned 270 back royals again in those, on coping, no less.
Oh, nice.
I learned, like, soyals and alley-oop soles on coping with those. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I learned in those skates, but it's just, you know... I once you taste greatness, with carbons and aeons and stuff like that, like it's hard to go back to that because there's so many working parts even in the 1.0s that you lose a lot of your push through all the different layers of plastics and hardware, you know, stacks and stuff. So, you know, it's difficult to really wrap my brain around trying them again, but I'm gonna give it the old college try.
Yeah.
At the very least. But I am very, very excited to try those Wish frames.
Yeah.
Very excited for that.
You're going to love them. I wish that you had more confidence in the boots that you're going to try them on. They're a very different frame. I can't say enough good things about them. they're just, you know, it took so long for somebody to come up with a frame idea like that. And I can only see it being, you know, like one of the important frames, you know what I mean? The important technology advances that we've had, where yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's a very interesting concept. And I don't know that it's going to be forever, right? I mean, somebody will make a better one, of course. You know, it's just the way that things progress. But I think you're going to really like it.
Yeah, I'm sure Cletus is going to come up with something incredible. Like, I couldn't even imagine that idea of a frame to begin with. Like, just looking at the frame when I got it in hand, like,
yeah,
it looks good.
Yeah, it's so different. Very purpose-built.
Absolutely. It's definitely something that I can see enjoying doing back royals in.
Yeah.
So hopefully I can make that happen.
Yeah, royals
sooner than later.
Royals are really great in it. The way that the groove and the H block is rounded, there's really no harsh angles, you know. So mm-hmm. You get on, you can just kind of, you know, roll yourself over. You know, so long as your boot is and with shadows, you won't have any issues, of course. But so long as that boot is where you know your Royale angle is going to be, I mean, you can get boot down pretty easily, even if you miss boot down on the jump.
Gotcha.
You're going to love it.
I'm sure that I will. I'm sure it's going to be a good time. What about, you'd mentioned Leon and the Wizards.
Yeah.
How awesome was that Instagram post?
I know, right? So Leon posted, like, was it graph paper or just some yeah. sort of a, yeah, some sort of a schematics of how to do, some of the Wizard, tricks, techniques, what would you call them?
Movements.
Yeah, movements. There you go. Like the gazelle and the lions and stuff like that. I'll link it in the show notes, but, I mean, I plan on studying that. Like, that's going to be, because for me, like, I don't know, like, I'm watching YouTube videos, seeing what wheel, like, he highlights what wheel to be on and what direction you're going and what foot does what and which way you curve. Like, the wheel positioning is what's most interesting to me. The ability to, and I guess this is more of a Wizard frame thing, but being able to rocker on that second to last wheel really mm-hmm. gives you a lot of control for turns. It's like I want to go skate Flatland more than I want to skate aggressive now.
It's once you get the idea of how to change your weight, like from wheel 2 to 3 and everything, depending upon which way you're going, mm-hmm. it really makes a huge difference. Like, I definitely understand what you're saying with that, where you want to skate Flatland more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's a lot of fun.
It's new and it's a challenge. You know, it's like, I still love aggressive, but it's something that is low impact. You know, after I skate aggressive, like for an hour or so, I beat myself up. I mean, add to the fact that I'm usually skating by myself. You know, it's a nonstop session. You know, I'm not taking as many breaks. Like, the only breaks that I take are when I, you know, turn the video camera on to myself and talk about how tired I am, and then I go back and skate more. That's, you know, that's it. So it's like a serious, like, for the hour that I'm there, you know, it's a bloodbath. With Wizard skating, though, or at least the Flatland stuff, it's more mental, you know? It's balance, it's control, it's less jumping and falling, it's more, just fine-tuning the angle of your foot. Like, I really like that, especially as an older dude. Like, you know, the more stuff I can do without hurting myself, the better.
Absolutely. And I mean, the most you're going to do is bang up your hip from falling a couple of times,
yeah,
trying these gazelles and everything like that. And even then, it's really not even that bad.
Yeah.
I would suspect that you could probably try to figure out how to do most of those movements with the rocker setup that you have.
Yeah.
But it is going to be significantly easier on a natural rocker.
So is a natural the big difference between what I have, which is a banana rocker, and the natural, is that the last wheel is tweaked? Is that it? Like, it's all flat and then the last wheel is up?
No, they're all four wheels are completely different. Okay. It's supposed to mimic the way that your a flat setup feels after skating it for several months.
Okay.
Whereas, and I take issue with your banana rocker, and we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
But the natural rocker, none of the wheels are on the same plane. They're like say you have wheel one is zero, the center point of that axle is zero. Wheel two is going to be, I think, a millimeter or two down or up.
Mm.
I think maybe a millimeter or two down. Wheel three will be two more down from there, and wheel four will be like one up from wheel one.
Okay.
So they're all on a different plane. I have no idea if that's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I saw a print type thing at some point. I don't know. I've tried to look for it a couple times on like Leon's Instagram, Shop Task.
Sure.
I've looked on Joey's. I looked on Mushroom Blading. I never found it again. And I feel like at one point I also found something on the internet, mm-hmm. just randomly searching for natural rocker, you know, and I found it. So I think there was something about natural rocker in the past that was out there that Leon adapted,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe tried it as he saw it and then changed a little bit, like changed a couple of dimensions. I'm not 100% sure, but whatever it is, I mean, he did it well and it works.
Yeah. I can't wait. I eventually I'll get some wizards and test them out. I really love the R100s though. So I think, I don't know. So what about banana? What don't you like about banana? Is it the term?
Yes, because it's incorrect. It's the incorrect term.
Why is what's wrong with it?
All right. So what you're skating is rockered.
Yes.
It's not banana rocker. What I skate is flat rocker. What people that are wrong skate is anti-rocker. So I mean, clearly I'm joking about that, but I mean, people that skate this, like a setup that you're skating now, skate rocker,
right,
or rockered, because that's what that was. Like, you could rocker your wheels on the old TRS frames.
Yes.
So you can mimic an ice blade.
Yes.
Or
up and down.
An ice hockey blade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the outside wheels, you can go in and out to give you a little longer of a wheelbase. But I mean, banana rocker is just wrong. I remember when Todd said that on the Mushroom Blading podcast with Eric Garcia,
mm-hmm.
AKA El Presidente. And, he was just like, oh, you got to try a banana rocker sometime. And he said that, like, my eyelids just started twitching. I was like, it's rocker. It's rocker. And I think Frank Stoner called him out for that, too, on a later podcast.
It's a pretty common, well-known term, though. Like, a descriptor for the way that with two wheels down in the middle, two wheels up on the outsides. What do you call Wish, then? Because I always thought Wish was flat rocker. Like, flat is just flat.
Well, the way that...
Like, there's no rocker involved, right? It's just flat.
Well, sort of. Like, you can set it up flat based upon a wheel combination.
No. I mean, what you were saying initially with flat rocker, like, if you've got old TRS frames, and you have... if you have the first and last wheels up, and the middle wheels down, that's what... you call rocker, what I call banana rocker. If you've got them reversed, so the outside wheels down, the inside wheels up, that's anti-rocker, because it's the opposite of rocker. What if you have all the wheels down?
Are the wheels in question the same size?
Same size, 58s.
Yeah, that's it's just flat then.
Yeah, that's what I would say, flat. But you called it flat rocker. And I've heard flat rocker, but I always thought of flat rocker as, you know, the initial flat rocker, which was the Cosmo mini flies and flywheels, which were what, 56 and 62 maybe? So you would have the 62s on the outside rocker down, up, and then the middle wheels, the 50, whatever they were down, so they were flat, but you still had little wheels in the middle. That's what I thought Flat Rocker was.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you could look at it that way. I mean, you can still achieve Flat Rocker and Rocker and everything like that using varying wheel sizes, whereas some companies like Seba or Flying Eagle will offer a frame that is either built with a rocker built into it, like Emily skates, the Penguins she has, they have a natural rocker. That's not the right term. They have a rocker built into the frame. Right. So right now they're set up flat with 64s on the outside, 62s on the inside.
Okay. So it's a 1 mil rocker.
Correct.
Okay.
Built into the frame, accommodated or not accommodated. What's the word? Alleviated by wheel sizes.
Yes.
So, like Frank Stoner skates, I think Kaiser Elements rockered with 56 on the inside, 54 on the outside.
Okay. So it's a 1 mil rocker because the element is a flat frame.
Correct. Correct. Okay. And then something like the Seba Deluxe frame, which is a 4x80, has, I think, a 2 mil rocker built into it.
So if you had a 2 mil rocker, you would skate 76s on the inside, 80 on the outside to make it flat.
Yes.
So 2 minus 2. So what do you prefer?
Flat. I mean, that's what I've always enjoyed.
Okay.
That's what I've skated the most. Seconded by Andy Rocker. Hate freestyle. I can't stand it.
Wait. Okay. Now we're gonna have to talk.
Okay.
What's the difference between freestyle and anti-rocker?
Technically, there really isn't a difference.
But you hate it.
I do, because the typical freestyle setup that I see is just someone that takes the middle wheels out and throws the axles away.
Yes, I hear that.
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I don't know what is that. Is there a different name for that? That's not freestyle.
Wrong.
Well, fair. What is the name for that? Like, you've got Tri-Rocker. You've got...
Ooh, that's actually a good setup, too. That's fun.
So we all have a lot to discuss. So if you remove the middle wheels, but your frame is designed for riding 4 flat, is that freestyle?
Through the rhetoric of aggressive inline rollerblading, yes.
Okay. What about little wheels in the inside? 44 millimeter wheels.
That's any rocker.
What about juice blocks?
That would be freestyle.
This is where things get weird.
But I disagree at the same time. Because this is the way that I've always understood it and the way that I've always thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
Freestyle indicates a lack of middle wheels.
Okay.
Essentially. So even if you had something like the trigger frame, the trigger stock frame, is technically a freestyle frame because there's no wheels in the middle, but it has like wheels that are molded into the frame.
Okay.
So it's like you have them there to help keep you in your center groove, but there's no wheel there technically. It's all part of the frame.
Got it. What about those Murda ground control frames?
The nubs?
Yeah, the nubs with the rolly nubs that were small wheels.
That's actually a different frame. The
Oh, which ones am I thinking of?
So the Murdas actually had little square nubs that came out of the H blocks that took the place of the wheels.
Oh, that's not what I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the ones with the little wheels. I don't know which ones they are. What are they called?
I don't know.
Oh,
we're gonna have to do some Googling now.
I'm gonna have to find it. Built-in wheels. All right, let's see who can find it first. They are called... Who can find it first? This was after my time, so you have an advantage. And somebody is probably yelling at their their car right now. It's the...
Yeah, you know what's sad?
Found him. At skates.com, they are third gen black frame, third ground control, third gens. So these are them. This is what they are.
Okay.
Hit you a link in the comments. So they are God, they're anti-rocker, but they have special wheels.
Yeah, it's so it's like they had a block.
Yep.
That was made, and yep. they held these little wheels. I think 4x4 also made a wheel like this.
Oh, really?
And packaged it. I feel like I've seen that.
Interesting.
That is such a good looking frame.
It looks so good. Why like, don't wanted... these? Why don't they make these anymore? Look at the rocker too. There's a 4-way rocker.
Yeah, I think the issue. I think they might still be running into issues with the K2 patent. I'm not a patent lawyer.
Yeah, in any shape,
form, or fashion. So I don't really know what the deal is with it, but it would be really nice to see something like that come back again.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
God, they still have Able frames too.
I forgot about that. I don't know they have them, but they're on that list. All right, third gens. That's what they're called. Ground control third gen. Yeah, I mean, technically those are anti-rocker, but the H block is big enough that it's not really anti-rocker. It's kind of a I question that because when I started skating juice blocks again, they said technically that wasn't skating anti-rocker, that was skating freestyle. And I was like, well, sure, but it's still the same feeling when you're skating. Like the only difference is that is my wheels might rub and I might eat shit if my wheels rub versus anti-rocker wheels potentially spinning, but usually not spinning.
Yeah. So, and then you have your purpose, you know, your freestyle purpose built frames like the 5050 ones, the Shadow Mooks, the Cultic freestyle frame, which yes. I mean structurally I'm just not a huge fan of, to be honest.
Yeah.
It looks like something that's gonna snap in no time.
Yeah.
And then you have people like Casey Bagazzi who will skate frames until they look like that. and he still does ridiculous stuff in them. The dude's still highly capable.
I wonder. So I'm looking at the Formula One frames. I wonder, I don't know. There are a few freestyle frames out there right now, so it's not like there isn't a market for it, but I've never seen a set of freestyle frames in the wild aside from Shredpool. Like, he's the only guy that I know that skates freestyle. Do you know anybody else? Do any pros skate freestyle?
Not that I'm aware of.
So. I wonder if it was, I don't know.
I think it's just kind of out of vogue at this point. I mean,
yeah, there's I was going to say, maybe it's trendy.
I mean, there's so many offerings that are so much more fun. Like a 62 millimeter frame or a 72 millimeter frame or something along those lines. I mean, there's so much more fun to be had out there than click clacking around in a freestyle ground control frame.
Yeah.
Try this one though.
That's fair.
It's different. But yeah, so the Murder H block was essentially that third gen H block, but it had little square nubbies in place of the wheels.
Okay.
So it was like a freestyle H block.
Okay. Which is fine. It's weird that from skating and wheelbase, it really doesn't matter if you're skating anti-rocker or freestyle or tri-rocker. I guess tri-rocker. Is tri-rocker anti-rocker or tri-rocker flat wheels?
It's kind of neither, to be honest.
Okay. Is there a difference between skating tri-rocker with 358s or tri-rocker with 258s and one anti-rocker wheel?
Yeah, it sucks. it's not fun.
From a terminology.
Well, from a terminology, your tri-rocker setup is going to have three big wheels and one small wheel.
Okay.
There's been people that have skated those, like Dave Ware. I don't know if he still does, but at one point he skated big frames tri-rocker with a 58 millimeter UHMW wheel in slot three. Or maybe even a 62. Like I know that he had Moonshine, I think, make him some custom anti rockers.
Nice.
And then because he's Dave Ware, he bought like 12 sets of them.
Yeah, fair.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of silly where frames went, and then now everybody's all over 50/50 again, which I could not be happier about.
Well,
I'm glad that that's.
I would say that 50-50 is one of the options. I think there's a lot of, hey, we're back excitement. I think that frames, I mean, Wish is definitely more exciting to me than bringing back a 50-50 frame. Not that the 50-50 frame isn't great, but I think new frames, I think I'm excited about all the wheel protection stuff that's going on. There's a lot of cool frames on the market, that's for sure.
Fair enough.
But thank you.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just a classic frame, which is probably why it's called a classic balance frame.
It is a classic frame. What did you ever skate bake frames?
No, and the biggest reason why is because they do not have metal spacers.
Yeah, I was going to say they don't have metal, so I would assume that wouldn't be great for you. But I'm looking at them. I'm still on this page with all the frames, and it looks like it had a lot of really good ideas. Are they available?
I want to say no, but I know that the guys are still out there. Mm-hmm. I just don't know where they're at. I don't think there's. I know there is a 60mm prototype wheel out there.
Okay.
Not wheel, a prototype frame.
Yeah, it looks like they fit 72s. Are they for 72s?
Yeah, it's a 72mm frame.
Okay.
And did you also see that's a 2-piece frame?
I did. Yeah, I'm looking through this. I'll put a link in there. I mean, the wheel bite protection is really awesome on it.
For a little bit until it grinds away.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, I'm not trying to say that to be shitty, but I think it was a great idea. And if I was someone that was still skating, you know, handrails on a regular basis,
yeah,
it would be something that I would be very interested in. But I mean, I very rarely skate handrails.
Yeah.
And I'm really not trying to try to get used to an H block like that again.
Yeah. It's a different thing. I love it.
It is a really cool idea. Here is a picture of the 60mm frames. Mm. Well, actually, if you look, I'll get you a better link for it, but they have a picture of the 60mm prototypes.
Okay.
Right here. And there it is.
Do you think that a 1mm rocker would make a difference for you?
I doubt it. I think it's going to be too little of a rocker. Mm-hmm. Well, do you mean a difference in like the axle positions? So the middle two axles are 1mm down?
Yes. So you would have a rocker of 1mm. So if you were riding 58mm wheels flat, the two middle wheels would be down 1mm. So in essence, it would be like 60s in the middle, 58s on the outside if you're riding flat.
I don't think that's going to make much of a difference.
Yeah, I wonder, especially with a longer wheelbase. So one of the things that I'm interested in, you know, I'm always thinking about frame ideas and, you know, what would make a good frame. And one of the things that I think you'll find with the Wish frames is because the frames are long, you know, they're like 286, 1-4. Mm-hmm. But the wheelbase isn't 286. It's shorter because the wheels that you have on there have like a 1mm. I don't know what the rocker is. It's 72s on the outside, 60s on the inside. So the inside has a slight rocker, not much, but a slight rocker. And that means that the effective wheelbase is actually shorter than the 286 or whatever it is, 1-4, if you skate them with a slight rocker. I'm really curious to hear like what the right balance is. You know, the Wizard frames and these K2 frames, I can corner faster with my K2 R100s than I can with my anti-rocker medium balance frames, because that 1-4 on the balance frame is 250mm, whereas the wheels that are touching on that R100 are 2 and 3, which are probably what, maybe 200. I mean, they're tight, you know.
Yeah,
I'm really curious to see like what's ideal. You know, there's a lot to think about. Like if you're skating them, like I'm kind of at the point now where I think there's there is a market for a flat frame versus an anti-rocker frame. Whereas in the past, oh, I would say, sure. You know what I mean? Whereas in the past, I would say, oh, you just make a frame that can do everything. I think there's a need for specifically built flat frames or specifically built anti-rocker frames.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think Ground Control and Wish both have proven that.
Yeah, I think so. And that, what's that rollerblade frame? The blank frame?
Yeah.
Where that split is huge, right? But it's designed for an anti-rocker setup.
Well, the groove is huge. The yes. split isn't too crazy, but that groove right. is, exactly. is silly.
Exactly.
It's a great frame. It's, you know, it's a hard plastic. You can tighten it down, you know, yeah. tighter than anything, you know, tighten your snare drum. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's a solid frame, especially if you skate anti-rocker.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, most people do. I wonder if, you know, with Wish, if there's a market for flat frames. Like K2 kind of does that, right? I didn't know K2 made such a long frame.
Did you see the ones they made for Joey, the 320s?
Or no, 315s? I don't think so.
Yeah, there were 300 at least.
Oh, and my God.
They were flat 60, and they had a normal H-block. And then they made another one that had like a 4.5-inch fucking H-block.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they did some weird shit for them.
I'll have to see if I can find those.
Yeah, it won't be difficult. It's all over their Instagram.
That's awesome. Is it recent or no?
About a year ago, maybe okay. a little bit more.
Let's see if I can find it.
Or worst case, you could probably just text or message Joey and say,
I could just message Joey. What's up with it?
Did you know that Joey might not want to put this out there, like, but fuck it, he was on his Facebook. Did you know he had a kid?
I did. I saw that.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck, I didn't know any of your kid.
I had
your
no wife idea was
even pregnant.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah,
everybody's growing up, dude.
For Joey.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Joey had a kid, Long had a kid. It's time for more Blader Dads.
Agreed.
Never enough Blader Dads.
That's true. According to Toys R Us, though, there's plenty of Toys R Us kids out there because they're closing their doors now.
Oh, I saw that. I'm not really. I mean, it's Toys R Us. I mean, when's the last time you went to a Toys R Us and bought something?
Do you really? I have a 5-year-old. You really want me to answer that question?
Well, I have a couple kids too, and we go all the time, but we don't buy things. Like we look and then we go to Amazon.
Yeah, we can't not buy shit when we walk into that store. Law.
Yeah, I guess it's just not. I don't know.
It's a different audience too, though. So
it is a different audience. I feel like we go there and we look at things, but we don't buy things. It's sad, but like we go to Target. Target's our toy store.
Yeah, they do pretty well.
Yeah, I don't know. You could draw a similarity to skate shops, I guess.
Probably.
I wonder, I mean, the difference is that I feel like education and, like, where the skate shop used to really shine was the education side of thing, the lessons, the, you know, the shops that are thriving are still doing that. You know, they're connected with the community, they're either doing lessons, like, you know, Thuro or Roex's, or they're having, like, outreach sort of like field trips like Long does or like Intuition does, you know, with skate nights and such. Like that's it, where you gotta create this community. I mean, Toys R Us never had a community. You know what I mean? Like Toys R Us is just another place you would go to get toys for your kids. There's no need to go to Toys R Us, but I feel like there's a need to go to a skate shop, you know, not just to try on skates, but
for sure,
you know, you want to support that community.
I would agree with that. We have onto other sad topics.
Yes.
Most likely much sadder. Was it Jason Reyna that posted this? Yeah, Jason Reyna posted a farewell edit for Keaton.
Yeah.
I have not watched it.
No,
but
I don't know that I mean, can. I.
Yeah, that hurts. Like I just clicked it on. Like yeah. I'm not really sure why it bums me out because I had such a hard stance about Keaton.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, seeing a lot of people talk about it and everything like that, how passionate it was in Blading and this and that, like, it kind of made me look at it differently. It's just like, yeah, man, this is a really talented rollerblader that unfortunately just isn't going to be able to do it anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was really good. Like he did some really great shit. He did good stuff for Razors. He did good stuff for Apollo. He was on Shadow for a while. He was in the Shadow video.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And, I mean, just a really good dude.
Yeah. It's
sad to see that he's gone.
I'll put the link in the notes. Watch it if you have a chance. Is there a GoFundMe or something? I think there was.
I'm not sure, but if...
If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'm sure if you or Jason Moreno get together, I'm sure he'll be able to let you know if there's anything like that for him. I feel like there was something. I don't know if it's still up.
Yeah, I think there was. I know that there were a lot of tributes and get-togethers. I'll see if I can post a few of those. There were a lot of edits where people were just getting together and skating. It was really touching. Again, I think our last episode, our last show or whatever you want to call them, it was really fresh. You know, there's been a few weeks now for things to kind of settle in. And, you know, again, the outpouring of support from the community has been incredible. There's no better community. You know, people who have never met the guy coming out to skate in his honor, it's pretty touching. Whether you know agreed with him or not, you know, on things, whether you thought he was an asshole or not, like he's family, you know, it doesn't matter, like,
for sure.
And it was incredible to see. So yeah, I'll see what I can find. Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, and this whole video really looks like it was something that he was, you know, working really hard to put out some good content. I don't know if this was strictly for Razors or if it was going to be for an upcoming video or something. I don't know, but this is a great section.
Yeah, and it's as far as I can read in the comments, it's like the last stuff that he was working on, so it's as fresh as can be.
Yeah,
really cool,
for sure. So for good news,
yeah.
Roman Abrate finally got a pro boot.
His boot is out. I've seen him at Oak City. I haven't seen him personally, but I've seen Long has a set, or a few sets at Oak City. So I know that they're making their way around. They look cool. Now is this, so it's a 7, right? You didn't like the 7. What was your feedback on the 7?
Well, my beef with the 7 really, I think, just stems from liking my Aeon so much.
That's fair.
It's a very comfortable skate. I think another issue that I had with it was there was so much room in the shell that my foot was moving a fair amount, even with the crown liners that I had in them.
Sure.
I worry about this pro setup. Like, I worry that if I buy a 7.8, that it's going to come with small Cultic frames, which I think is going to be too small for me.
I could see that.
But those are really short, though. I think they're only, like, 220-something.
That's really crazy.
So, but they're, like whatever the very smallest you could have, a usable H block with 60 flat is what it is. And it's I think even the larges are a bit on the short side.
Really?
But that's me personally, and that's also me never skating them.
Yeah.
So, but that was another thing. Like, for the longest time, they only came with nylon spacers, so you didn't have, you know, nickel or whatever frame spacers in them for the longest time.
Sure.
Like when they first came out, they had them, and then I don't know if Connor was trying to cut costs or if he just had he could get more of them sooner. For the nylon spacers,
right?
And then a couple years ago, I think they started shipping exclusively with the metal spacers again. So,
okay.
I'm so into my Aeons, it's hard to really find something. What keeps sticking out in my brain is Cults. Like, I feel like I need a pair of Cults or a pair of Solos.
You should.
I just don't know how I'm going to make it happen yet.
Yeah, I mean, the solos we've heard about. I think the Colts are great skate. I mean, they're just a skate, you know, no frills. Like, this is what you get. I mean, I think you'd be happy with either. I still think it's going to be difficult to find you a good UFS boot.
Yeah, I think that is going to... I think my discerning skate snob is going to be difficult to be appeased.
Yeah. So I'm looking through some sites for where I can find the Abrate, but I don't see them anywhere. They weren't on Roller Warehouse. They weren't on Inline Warehouse. They weren't on Intuition. That's Tri-Oak City real quick. They might just be coming in, right? And maybe people haven't all ordered them. I know I saw them on Long's Instagram. I'm not seeing them on Oak City's shop either. Maybe they're not out yet?
No, they're out. Roller Warehouse has them. They're boot only, though.
I didn't see them. Why is it so hard to find things?
I don't know. Well, like, I get text alerts from Roller Warehouse, so anytime they tweet something, I get a text message. So when they say, like, oh, we just restocked with Eulogy wheels, or, you know, special pricing on,
right,
you know, Titan bearings or something like that. Like I get all those, and they just posted the other day that they got the boot onlys.
I see the boot only. Okay. They just don't have the full setup. Okay. I found the boot only. $279 boot only?
Yeah.
For a 7?
Yeah.
What?
Well, the liner.
Lord.
That's the MyFit Roman Pro liner.
I mean, yeah, it is. that's a lot for... I don't know.
It's a great boot. That sole plate is one of the best that you're ever going to skate that's not made out of UHNW.
Okay.
Like,
the skin looks amazing. It's definitely a quality skate. It's a really interesting price point. What's a normal 7? So a normal 7, just 2017, is $169, so it's $100 more.
Well, that's also a sale price. Or like, I don't want
to... No, it's sale. Not clearance. This is the 2017. Wow. I mean, it's a MyFit liner too. Interesting. I'm very curious. I'm very curious to see how that sells. First of all, Roman doesn't have the pull as like Eugen has, I guess. But pro skates aren't really I don't know. Do people buy pro skates because of the pro?
I don't buy them because of the pro. I buy them for the aesthetic.
Personally. Yeah, exactly. So the person's style, like, they influence what their skate looks like. You know, the most infamous, for me at least, is the Richard skate always having the red somewhere, right? So if you were down with a red skate, you would always want to get a Richard, whatever you had, right?
For sure.
Whether you liked Richard or not. If you liked red, you would get, you know, the Richard skate. I love that the full 7... Jesus, how much is the full 7 then? If the boot only is $279, what's that got to be, $380?
No, it's not going to be. Probably another $80, because they're not undercover wheels.
They aren't?
They would be whatever the USD 58s are.
Okay,
like, if you look on their Instagram, I think it's on USDs.
Okay.
They have it. It's a USD wheel that's on there. It's not undercover. So it's probably still pretty good, you know, but it's not.
Yeah.
There's better out there, clearly.
So if I got a boot-only Roman Abrate Pro Boot, and then I bought... Where's their frame section? I'm still on Roller Warehouse. If I bought... they have Cultic... Completes. No, they don't. Just kidding. they had a Cultic frame. I don't know Cultic's line, so I'm not sure which one he would have, but it's a pro frame. Is it their flat frames? Is that what they call them? Looks yeah. like it, right? Okay. Which is a $50 frame on Roller Warehouse, plus 8 wheels, plus 8 bearings. What kind of bearings do you think they have?
Probably Wicked Avex 7 or Avex 9.
Wicked 9s, yeah. So those are what, $40 bearings? $30 bearings? Jesus, dude. That's almost a $400 complete. It can't be that much, though. Can it?
I think it can. Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to get wholesale price on the Cultics, because I mean, there's no way that Cultic is going to sell
of course
500 sets of frames to USD for $49.
So no, whatever
that'll be. So I think ultimately what the consumer will pay would be probably $28 to $35 for the frames as they're set up. Maybe $20 per set for the wheels, and then maybe a total of $30 for 16 bearings.
So you're thinking around $350 landed.
That's my guess. Right around $350 for the complete.
I wonder if Thoreau has them. Probably not.
If anyone does, I'm sure Gabe would probably get them.
That's kind of what I thought too.
Gabe surprises me with the stuff that he has available.
I don't know if he carries USD. Oh, there's the Aeons. I don't see the... there they are. Completes. $355. It's not bad for a pro skate. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
It just seems weird for a boot only to be $270 to me. I mean, it is. So it comes with USD 58s, Wicked Abec 9s, MyFit Roman liners, and the Cultic flat frames.
It's worth every penny.
It's a great looking skate.
Yeah. It's a good looking skate. Roman's going to get at least $2.50 per skate. And I say that because I just listened to to Kranz's podcast that he did with Dunkel, with Charles Dunkel.
Oh, I haven't heard that one yet. It's in my queue.
Yeah. It wasn't bad. I mean, it didn't change my opinion on Charles Dunkel. And I'm not saying that like I had a negative opinion about him. Like I had a very meh kind of attitude toward Charles Dunkel. I never really liked the aesthetic of his skating. I knew that he was very good and he could do things that I couldn't do. And he could do things that a lot of people couldn't do, but it just wasn't for me.
Sure.
I made that opinion known on BMAG, and I'm pretty sure we know what happened from there.
I'm sure everybody praised you.
Yeah, exactly.
How did the Dunkel podcast come into this?
Oh, he was talking about how when he was skating for Razors, his Pro Boot came out, he got $2.50 for each pair of skates.
Got it.
So he was usually getting like $500 like per month from them, and then just randomly he got a $5,000 check.
Wow.
So they sold 2,000 pair of skates in a month,
right?
Or like when the shipment went out, it happened to be all in that month.
Yeah.
And then he got that one big payout. So
that's not bad.
You know what I just saw on Thoreau's website?
What did you see?
Because I have ADD and I can't not.
Yep.
I'm gonna send it to you because I want you to be surprised.
Nothing surprises me, Ben.
Fair enough.
I'm surprised. Yeah. These are the Volo Eric Bailey denims.
The blue ones. Oh, that's such a great looking skate.
It is a great looking skate. I could skate them, dude. Have you seen me skate them? Well, I can't skate this one. 8-9 shell with a 9-8-8 liner. I would, no way.
I'd cut a toe off to skate those.
No.
God, that is such a good looking skate. You should edit that part out so no one buys it, and I can try to convince the wife that I need it.
You can get them from the Overstock, from the Volo. I wonder if that's gone.
Oh, that's right.
The Volo Overstock store. What was it called? Rosie's Outlet. Now that it's not there.
Outlet, yeah. Well, they still have a link there when you Google it. When you Google Rosie's Outlet, it comes.
Yeah.
Let's see. We are in...
Where am I? Czechoslovakia? I'll say I'm in the United Kingdom.
Why won't it click? There we go. I was like, why won't it click?
Skates, inline skates. Yeah, I think I'm in the wrong shop. I need to find the Volo.
They still have a lot of really cool stuff that you can buy.
So good. Oh, they have so much good stuff.
Like that M12 t-shirt. Oh. And how do they still have stock in that old Lone Star wheel?
I know.
And people are buying them. Like, I'm seeing people that are buying them, and they have a lot of them.
They have a lot. They probably bought them back in the, the Arlo, whatever, what was it, the M12? What was the one that came with the Lone Stars?
The
Flat Rider, what was it called, Low Riders?
The Low Riders, yeah.
Oh, such good memories.
Agreed. I'm going to send you the direct link for the ball outlet. It should go right to it now that we've selected the country.
Yeah, I see Hyper Power Edge Hockey Wheels. I see Hyper Fat Boys. They have Fat Boys, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Oh my god, I can't believe that. These Lone Star wheels are so cheap.
Well, I'm going to go so far as to say you're going to get what you're paying for with that.
Well, I know. Oh, man. But for a collector.
That's true.
What are these shroom wheels? Hyper shrooms? I don't remember those.
That was it was a 66. I think they had them in 88 and 90.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that. It's like memory lane, and it's still in stock. Like, they just kind of hang out. Juvenile delinquent wheels. Juvenile delinquents.
Yeah, I still remember there was an ad for that wheel, and it was Rawlingson and Brian Bell in handcuffs.
I remember that.
Being thrown up against the cop car. That was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was so cool. Disgruntled kids.
Yep.
There's a lot of old stuff in here.
I'm looking at the Volo outlet. Basically, everything they have is either size 6 or size 13.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Makes perfect sense why that's what they have in stock.
But it would be nice if they had the Eric Baileys. So pretty.
Yep, I agree. Oh, that gray. That was so nice. Did I tell you, I had a pair of those. Mm-mm. Yeah, my Father's Day edit, I was wearing those.
I really like those. I still want to get those Arlos just to have them.
Yeah, that was a really sweet skate.
I have no reason to question why they didn't sell. I mean, that's a very expressive skate.
They sold pretty well. I think it was just... It was an artsy skate, and it didn't necessarily sell everything.
Yeah, they've got all sizes in stock still.
What?
I mean, 10s, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Well, that doesn't help me.
It doesn't help you, but you could fit into a 10. You could fit into a 10. It would be weird, but...
That is probably true.
Especially with the all width. Right. I mean, the width is probably right for you.
Yeah, I was actually going to think, what are you doing with your V13s? Maybe I can try those.
There you go. I would be happy to send them to you if you want to give them a shot.
We'll figure it out.
They were good skates. But, I was very happy with my V13s review. Hopefully, I'll finish up this weekend. Ultimately, I don't know that I have higher taste or what, but I want more support. I think they're fine for grinds. But I like to skate, and I didn't feel like they were the right skate for me for skating. I think it's that 45-degree strap that's just, I need it.
Well, you could always lace, like, because every time I bring up, like, the way that something feels on my foot, Mark always sends me the lacing thing.
Yeah, but, I mean, send Mark some V13s, see what he thinks about that.
I think he bought V13s.
Did he?
I think so. I think he had Sizemores at one point. I'll have to look in our message. You just don't believe it.
Well, I don't believe it, but I think a lot of people skate really well with V13s. I don't know that they're the right skate for me.
I know he had Sebas.
Interesting. Sea Chase?
Yeah.
Really?
No. SX. He had SX.
I mean, still, same thing. Soul Plate.
Yeah. And K2N Naturals. He had a pair of K2N Naturals also.
I'm really intrigued by the K2 line. Not as much as the Rollerblade line. Rollerblade will be my next skate. This is going to be a little bit. I got to get through these frames. I'm on lockdown for spending money.
I hear you. I'm very interested to see what you utilize that that thing that we talked about that you got for the little discount code you got.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I won't. I mean, I'm just going to use it. I'm just going to use it because I can't buy more stuff.
Yes, you can.
No, I can't. I'm not supposed to. Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'll explore. So I had a very nice, I mentioned in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I think, that I was in the market for rollerblades and I had a very, very nice listener reach out. I won't mention his name, but you know who you are. Appreciate it. I guess Rollerblade Team has special codes that they give out, like little cards that give you a 40% off discount. And a special link for being like a friend of Rollerblade. And I am definitely a friend of Rollerblade. And I've never seen one of these, but I don't know anybody out there who skates Rollerblades. I've never seen Rollerblades in the wild. But I'm very intrigued. And when I get a little bit of money, I'm going to be definitely getting some new jacks. And according to Ben, more. But I don't know if I'm going to be getting more. I'll see. What would I get? That's the question. I'm not going to get Twisters. They look amazing, but I'm not going to get Twisters.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Twister isn't necessarily what you would need.
What is the market? What am I in the market for, Ben? You know me. You know me better than I do.
From Rollerblade, I think. Let's see. What's in their 2018 line? Let's look at their website.
Yeah, I'm over at Inline Warehouse again. Well, let's go to rollerblade.com. That's the right place to go. So what do I skate? I skate street. I skate urban, or whatever you want to call it. I skate trails when it's not wet outside. And that's really it. I skate flatland, I guess.
All right, so
I'm looking at it now.
The Maxim 100 I'm going to mention,
okay,
because it's a great boot, it's a great frame.
I see it,
and that helps us segue into something else I want to talk about, but we'll bring that up in a second.
The Maxim 100 looks great. So is the Maxim 100 a solo?
No, it's okay. Not.
It the looks Maxim, similar, right?
Sort of. It's the Twister boot with a different cuff.
Okay.
So the Twister.
No. The Twister is the one that looks like what's that Porygon? The Pokemon. Yeah. The one that looks like the duck.
But that's the Twister Edge. So the original Twister.
Okay.
Was that same boot that the Maxim was in?
Okay.
And then the Twister, the original Twister, had the same cuff as the New Jacks. So it had a little stronger cuff, where the Maxim was for more of like a dedicated, I'm going to go out, I'm going to skate 25 miles today, and I'm going to come home and I'm going to throw up and go to bed.
Nice. Okay.
So that's what that was. And that was actually Eric Cruz's first big wheel skate, or his first training skate that he had, the Maxim 100.
Okay.
When they had the green wheels, or the green boot, and then they changed it to the red, and He did a number on those.
Nice.
put lots and lots of miles on those.
Nice.
But I would say,
God, these Twisters look good, dude. The Twister Edge.
It's a good looking skate.
That's a very chiseled look. I've never seen skate that looks like this before.
It's an interesting aesthetic. The downside, there's no, and this may have changed. But the last time that I saw someone talk about it, it does not have the aluminum block in the mount.
What does that mean?
So it's just like the T-nut through the plastic, like a throne is or whatever.
Okay.
So like when you look at the bottom of your Imperials, there's an aluminum block that's in there.
Yes.
That's molded into the skate.
Right.
The Flying Eagle will have that where the aluminum is exposed as well. Some of their lower end ones, like the F2s or whatever, it's molded completely over and it's a thinner block.
Okay.
So,
do I need the 110s? The Twister 110s? Oh, that look good too.
It is a good look, but you already have a.
I already have a. Yeah, it's. I mean, it's the same as my
110.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's the same. I like the. So I'm looking at the Twister Edge X or 10, I guess if you're an Apple guy. it's X. I don't know what they're thinking. It's a 243. What's the 255? That's a large frame. That's what I would want, but I don't know that I can get that. What's a 29? 29 is really long, right? What's size chart? 29.
A 29. Wait, what are you talking about?
Oh, 29 is centimeters. That's what it is. So I'm 28.5. So they say that I should have. See, this is why. If you're a 29 to 31, you're supposed to get the 255 base frame. I'm 28.5. I'm on the high end of their sizing chart. And they have me as a 243 base. And the 243,
wow.
The arrows, the Kaiser arrows are 244. Maybe 243? 243, I don't know what it was. It's 1 mil off. So 243, 244, forgive me, Matthias or whoever. But I'm at the high end of that. So like I could go either way. I think the 255 would be better for me because I had real problems with those arrows when landing gaps. Like, especially 180s. Like, it was just too short. I really love the balance frames and their 255 or 250. Smaller wheels, of course, so it's even lower wheelbase. But I think 250, I mean, I don't want to go any lower than 250. And then, yeah, 244, that's too low for me. Forget it.
Yeah. I would love to have that 255 frame. That'd be awesome.
It sounds perfect, right?
That would be a lot of fun to skate.
So Maxim 100s, that's what you're saying that I should get. Maxim 100s.
I had the 90s, uh-huh. Personally. And
you had the 90s. You said that, yeah.
Yeah, I liked them until I took them to Texas. just the way that I transfer my weight, like I guess when I'm doing crossovers or whatever, I got a real weird flex point where once it would flex, my foot would fold all the way over. So I emailed Tom about it and showed him what was happening. He said, that's not supposed to happen. That's entirely atypical. Let's get you taken care of. And they did. I was very happy with the way that we were able to get that fixed. So,
sure.
So kudos to Rollerblade and their customer service team for that.
Sure.
But if you just want something that's a little bit longer where you don't have to worry about tripping over your feet, the Maxim 90 is a great way to go.
Maxim 90.
But it's a white boot, and you're not a huge fan of white skates.
I'm not a huge fan. The reason why I don't like white skates is because I get them dirty.
There's nothing wrong with that. That just means you use them.
Yeah, but I don't want to get them dirty. I don't know. It's aggressive. That's the problem. Like, I don't like white aggressive skates. I like white aggressive skates, but you should have seen my SL3s. They were just dirty. Ugh, it's just brown and yuck. Because I fall down a lot. I could stop falling down, of course, but that's not going to help me. Okay, I'm at the Maxim 90s, so it's flat 90. So let's talk.
Okay.
The Maxim 100 is three 100s. Wheel 2 is a 90. These mm-hmm. are flat 90s. Which skate is going to go faster?
Technically, well...
So here we go.
As far as the physics are concerned, like if you can get that wheel to the fast enough to where it's almost going to delaminate,
yep.
It's going to be the same speed because you're only going to go as fast as the smallest wheel that you have.
As the 90, right. So what's the difference? Why would they put 100 in there?
Why would they do the 3x100 190?
Yeah.
So you can get... Because you're not going to propel that skate fast enough for it to really make a difference.
Okay.
Like, you maybe someone like Bart Swings would be able to do that. Bart Swings is a world champion... speed skater.
Okay, that's
just
not,
so you know,
not me.
Yeah,
my name is not Bart Swings.
Definitely not me. but you'll have the added benefit of the extra glide with the 100s and everything like that, but less wheel length or wheelbase with that smaller wheel.
Okay.
So that's twofold. That makes it smaller or shorter, I should say, and closer to your foot, so they can mount it a little bit closer.
Okay.
It's a great boot. It's very comfortable. The liner is extremely thin, in a good way.
Okay.
It's not the Intuition liner, but it's a great liner.
Right.
I would recommend it. Especially if you're looking for something that you're going to train with and you're going to train hard.
Sure.
That's one way to go. I mean, like you're saying, Eric, I think put 1200 miles on his. So
yeah,
he's a fucking animal.
So speaking of Eric,
he is awesome.
Yes. So, Eric posted, when was it?
Man.
A couple days ago.
Yesterday.
Looks like yesterday. A picture of his, he just got some Powerslide R6s. Those things, man, are beasts.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I love the colors. I love the look. So, Powerslide does things so well. They're just such a clean looking skate. That cuff is so cool. Are you looking at that? Have you seen this cuff?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I love everything about this skate, to be honest. If I was in the market for,
it's amazing.
For something like this, like, I would definitely want these. Rob Harrington got his the other day.
And I saw that. Yeah.
He loves them.
So this is a weird skate, right? This isn't a low cut speed skate style. Like, what is this skate? What's the goal for this skate?
It's for marathons.
Okay.
or a higher distance training.
Okay.
So if you're trying to like push your legs even further, if you're a short track skater or something like that, you would use something like this to what's the word, to burn out your legs, kind of thing.
Okay.
For endurance. If you just want to skate 1200 miles in a year or less than a year, then you give these skates to Eric Cruz.
Yep.
And he does amazing things in them.
True.
So these are his pictures, by the way. He took those.
Yeah.
Those aren't Powerslide's product shots.
No, they look beautiful. I didn't know he was so talented.
He's unbelievably talented. He's a great photographer.
Yeah.
He does great X grinds.
I need to send him some product to take pictures of.
and he trains like crazy. The dedication that he has to not only himself but to better himself as a skater is incredible. I could not be happier that he is in cahoots with Powerslide. That is a great move for the both of them, and I'm hoping that it goes even further for him.
Yeah, I would agree. He's a great guy.
He really is.
He's been I've been following him on Instagram, and he's been just skating. Like, I don't know how he does it. Where he finds the time, but he's definitely putting in miles and miles and miles.
Yeah, he'll send me pictures, like snapshots of his training session from Endomondo,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, oh, I'm so lazy, like I couldn't even get 3 miles today.
Yeah.
Like I didn't even put on my skates. He sent me this thing, like the last one that he did, which might have been why he hasn't sent me many lately. But I think he did like 60 miles in 3 hours. And so I went into the health app on my phone and showed him that I walked 6,000 steps that day.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
And I think at first he was just like, it's a fucking start, man. Like, do something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Support something.
I agree with that statement, but. Yeah, man, Eric's a beast. He definitely is. And so is David Sizemore.
Yes, so you saw that link. So I've been...
This is old, by the way.
There's a lot of things. So I was just going to preface this. Just like the Carlos Pianowski one above it. There are so many crazy... So I missed most of this, right? There are so many crazy little videos that I've been finding, and I just put them on the list because, I mean, we'll eventually talk about them. When was this? So this Sizemore Fast Slide thing, I love the Like, I mean, it's like the struggle, right? But
this was
5 years ago, it seems.
Yeah, this is the struggle on 11.
Yeah, this is a different level.
This is clearly where David comes into the upper echelon of everything he does.
Yeah, so he's just doing a flat drop rail fast slide. And I love that he comes back. Like, he skates it in the middle of the day because it's light out. But then he comes back at night because he didn't land it. So good. I love it.
I would venture to say he probably never left. He was probably doing that. Like, they probably got there after dinner.
And I mean,
he probably tried that 15 times.
Maybe.
And this was shortly after he left Rollerblade.
Okay.
And then got on, and I don't know if he bought or he got float a pair, those M12s that he had there, but he skated a couple pair of M12s and then he got on to Volo.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's just like, he's just so fucking good.
Yeah, he's really good. He still is good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't understand. Why does Vimeo, after me watching that video, bring up precautions? Like some stupid, not even closely related rollerblading video.
I don't know.
Stupid algorithms.
There was a... this Blader Union link didn't work. I put a link... let me hit it for you. Speaking of Sizemore, there's a... you know, Winter Clash was just... a couple weeks ago. Travis went to Winter Clash from Blader Union and had a travel log. You know, I've been asking for somebody to put a video together of like what travel was like and like tell me more about your Winter Clash experience. I don't want to just see the tricks. You know, I want to see everything. And Lino actually had a really good Winter Clash thing. The problem with Lino's, for me, was that it was all live streams, and it feels like he didn't really edit it together into, like, a cohesive, like, story. This feels like it was more refined as a story. It's not a video, but it's a story.
I would definitely agree. And that fast slide that Sizemore threw in there is ridiculous.
So about that picture. So there's a picture of Sizemore doing, I mean, it's like the same fast slide that was in the video 5 years later. But he is, again, on a big drop, probably the same height, right? It's probably like 12 feet up or 14 really feet up. But there is a flood of people watching him with cameras and phones and just big old boom mics and stuff.
Selfie sticks.
What a fucking event. Like, this is serious. I gotta get to play Winter Clash some year. It's incredible.
I have conflicting thoughts on this. Like, I look at that and be like, God, the feeling that must be in that room must be incredible. Like, seeing Sizemore do that and some of the other stuff that people were doing on that. And then I look around, I'm like, there's so many people. Like, I would probably have a panic attack right there as David Sizemore lands that.
True.
But I mean, like, it's so dope. Like, I couldn't even imagine how awesome that must feel.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. So definitely if you weren't able, even if you were able to go, you should check it out. But, this article's great. It is, I wish it were a video so that I could sit back and just watch it. But you know, this is a 30-minute read, you know, if you go through it, if you look at all of the pictures, if you watch all of the little clips and the videos, like, it is an experience of what Winter Clash was like, through his eyes. Really well done. I think the original content that Blader Union is putting together is top notch. I hope they keep it up.
So, still speaking about the content, I scrolled down a little bit and I came up with a panel with Lino, Julio, Arlo, and Haffy.
Yes.
Is it bad that I'm distracted by the fact that Haffy is wearing Vans? is that me still holding on to that whole rollerblader or anti-rollerblader sentiment that so many skateboarders had, and and not being able to get past that.
I mean, I think it's fine to wear shoes. I mean, I don't know. I used to wear, what was I wearing? I remember there was a time when I was at the office at, and this was years ago and in Costa Mesa. And I remember sitting and I was wearing skateboarding shoes. I don't know if they were DCs or what were they?
Globe?
No, but same shit, right? It's basically a skateboard brand, whatever. And I remember sitting at a table at a desk, and Brooke comes from like the left side of the room.
Oh, wait, did he slap you with a pair of pointers and say,
he goes diving under the table and he starts grabbing my leg. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I saw a skateboarder in here.
That's funny.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, well, I saw your shoes and I assumed you were a skateboarder. And I'm like, all right, fair. So I never wore them again.
At least not to the office.
I think I wore them skateboarding. That's the only time I wore them.
Fair enough.
Which is, you know, what they're for, right? You wear running shoes if you're going running. You wear skateboard shoes if you're going skateboarding.
That's very true.
Yeah, there was a lot of beef. I don't know that. I don't judge Chris for wearing Vans. I think you wear what you want. I wear Nike now, but whatever.
But they're a shoe manufacturer.
True.
So I was wearing Nike shoes before they were making shoes for skateboarders.
Yes. Was Vans always a skateboard shoe manufacturer?
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's how they started out.
I remember they were on the beach, right? That was their tagline. Vans on the beach or whatever. Off the wall. What is this? Off the wall.
Yeah.
Nothing about the beach.
Yeah, what I was just it? Like, I was like, really? Did they do a cross-marketing thing with beach or something?
Man, I don't remember.
But yeah, I remember like we were looking recently, we were just looking for new shoes for Emily. And then Christine, or the wife, was just like, oh, Vans did this whole like collaboration with Disney. I was like, my child's not wearing Vans. She's like, why? I was like, that's a skateboard company. I'm a roller blader.
Did you ever see the Yo Gabba Gabba Vans commercials?
No.
Oh my God. I got to show you these. I'll find a link. This is where the podcast stops being fun for people who don't have kids. Yo Gabba Gabba is a kids show. And I don't think they make it anymore. But when my youngest was, how old was she? I mean, she was just, you know, 4, maybe 3. Vans did a collaboration with Yo Gabba Gabba. Yo Gabba Gabba was a weird show. It was about 5 kids' toys that this weird like DJ guy was like a puppet, kind of like he plays with his toys, but his toys come alive. And like Biz Markie is in there and he does a beat of the day. And it's really bizarre. Yo Gabba Gabba is the best kids show of its time. It's incredible. But they did a collab and they only had guests and they had Tony Hawk on one day. So he was teaching the kids how to skateboard and they had people teaching them how to do like tricks or like flips or they had Sarah Silverman on making jokes, and it was just, it's very weird, kids friendly, but it's designed for adults. Anyway, they did this whole collab with Vans, and the Vans shoes, first, you know, there were shoes with all of the kids, with all the Yo Gabba Gabba characters on them, but they also did what is it? Was it Muno? Muno, there it is. Muno's the big tall one that looks like a like something that
the fire hydrant thing.
Well, yeah, I think people have compared him to other things, but so
I think I know where you're going.
you know where I'm going with that. So this is Muno recreating the Lance Mountain line in Los Angeles from, do you remember the old Bones Brigade video? Did you ever watch any of the skateboarding videos? I don't know if you have any history of skateboarding at all.
Well, I mean, I skateboarded as a small kid, And okay. So I understood some of it, and I knew some of the big names. Rodney Mullen, Daewon Song, Tony Hawk, obviously, Bucky Lassick. Bucky Lassick was actually the guy that was in the video that you first linked me. And okay. I feel like I need to correct you a little bit on that one.
Because I don't know that video.
No, the first one, the very first one you sent me about the Yo Gabba Gabba shoes.
Okay.
Why are you judging me?
I sent you the wrong link.
No, you didn't.
There's a link that I just sent you, which is the one that I was most happy about.
Okay.
I don't know about the one with Bucky Lassick. I probably haven't watched it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm watching it now.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it had some pretty good stuff in it.
Yeah. I haven't seen this one.
But yeah, but that guy, like, my first thought was, oh, it's Tony Hawk. And I was like, no, it's Bucky Lassick. But if he had his white helmet on with the red strap, which is the one that I bought, because nice. That's usually what he wears, is a white helmet with the red strap. So,
oh, okay.
Like, I couldn't get a white helmet, so I had to buy his helmet. For, I think, what I got for Christmas 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, something like that.
Oh, got it.
So... But yeah, so there's nothing wrong with, like, I mean,
nah, it's fine.
So, like, I don't have any issue with professional skateboarders because they're good at what they do. You know, they give props where props are due, and typically they don't have any issues with rollerbladers.
No, of course.
What I have issue with is shithead local skateboarders that just want to bust balls because we have different wheels.
Yes.
And they're douchebags.
I haven't had that problem in my skating experience since I cut back. All the skateboarders have been really cool with me, but I'm also old, so they probably have a different, you know, different vibe with me.
Yeah, and their kids probably call you sir when you're at the skate park.
I haven't had that.
That's good.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, in times where I haven't trimmed my beard or cut my hair in a little while, I'll get that.
Yeah.
And so,
so yeah, there's this Yo Gabba Gabba. There's the one with Muno, which is just hilarious. It's the red the red dude with one eye who skates the Lance Mountain line from the Bones Brigade video show. So I'll link both of them. It's just hilarious that there was a kids show that recreated these classic skateboard lines. I think it's hilarious.
God, look at that board.
Yes.
That old pool board with those giant wheels. Yep. Holy crap.
It's old, old school.
I don't know why I thought Bones Brigade was something that came out in like 2001.
Well, so that's where I was trying to figure out your... So there's a really good documentary. I don't want to turn this into a skateboarding podcast. It's not a skateboarding podcast, but there's a really good documentary on Bones Brigade that's on Netflix that you should watch. There's what's the first one? I'm going to forget. Where the original skateboarding came from.
You mean surfing?
Yes. it's a documentary about surfing transitioning to skateboarding and where skateboarding came from as a result of that. Dogtown and Z-Boys, that's what it's called.
Okay, there you go.
So definitely watch that. It's incredible. And then after you're done with that, watch the Bones Brigade video. Another documentary, Stacy Peralta, interviews with Tony Hawk, Lance Mountain, Tommy Guerrero, Steve Caballero, and Rodney Mullen, and like Animal Chin and all of that. It's an incredible documentary. I hope that someday rollerblading gets something like that. In a lot of ways, we did. Rolling Along is a really good documentary. I think that Barely Dead is a really good documentary. We kind of have that out there, but this is like super in depth. I don't know that we're old enough for it yet, I guess. And definitely not as, I don't know, mainstream, I guess, to justify a high expense. Like if you did a super expensive documentary, like how I'm assuming that the Bones Brigade one was, it would be hard to turn a profit because rollerblading isn't that large. Like there's not that many people who would watch it. But I mean, a few more years, maybe.
Here's hoping. That'd be really nice.
It would be nice.
So since we're still on the topic of shoes.
Yeah.
This was something that stuck in my head when I was a kid, and I've loved it for so long.
Hit me.
You didn't get it?
I just got it. Yeah. What the hell is this?
This is too much coffee, man. This is a Converse.
I think I've seen this before.
Yeah, I think
I've seen this before. Yeah, I totally seen this before.
I want to say it was a Super Bowl commercial or something like that, or like one of those like a big primetime commercial.
Yeah,
but like
interesting.
I always remember the shoe, and like when I get new shoes, I always want to say that, but I know nobody's gonna get it.
No, I wouldn't get it. I definitely wouldn't get it.
But I'm glad that you recognized it.
I totally recognize. I don't know from what.
Yeah, I mean, that one in particular was a commercial for Converse, and that's how I remember seeing it was for that, so.
Got it.
So when we recorded episode 12,
yes.
we talked about setting up a crew contact form.
Yes.
For anyone who wanted to submit them, their crew, and we actually got a number of, what's the word? Tyler Voucher?
Ooh. Submissions, I guess. What do you want to call it? People who were interested in being part of this experiment.
yeah, I would say that's very accurate.
Yeah. I think it's overwhelming. I mean, we had, let's see, 8 people submit, which is great. I mean, I'm blown away by first that people listen. Second, that people want to get involved, it's awesome.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. I mean, it's cool. Like it's cool that people listen to this in general, but that they want to interact with us, I think is even cooler. So, the first person that reached out to us or used the contact form, was a gentleman by the name of Eric, Gamboa. I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure that I probably pronounced that wrong. So Eric, I apologize about that.
I think you got it right.
All right, I'm hoping. they're from Whittier, which is in Downey County, maybe, or Whittier Downey area in California.
Yeah, I've never been to Whittier. I know it, just the name and Downey. It's just outer LA area. It's not Orange County and it's not San Diego, but it's in the LA area. Yeah,
the vast wasteland between. Yeah. San Diego and LA counties.
yes.
But yeah, I mean, like the little edit they sent in was a Vimeo edit, and there's some great stuff. I mean, the guys there are obviously very, very capable, and they look like they're enjoying themselves. Whoever
what
that is dude
that
is,
park. What is that park with the? If you guys watch the video, with the whippy, like the wavy blue fence. I know I've seen that before.
Yeah,
is that the one that was in that Julio? Remember that old edit that Julio did a sidewalk? Do you remember that? Or a training wheel?
Yeah, that was... Well, Steve Johns put out those little Instagram things. But even before that, I think it was Julio's 35 edit. When he turned 35, that was filmed mostly in that skate park.
Okay.
But that's an LA skate park.
I've seen somewhere. It so many times. I don't know where it is, but
yeah,
looks fun.
Yeah, it is somewhere in LA, and it does look like it's a lot of fun. It might even be in Whittier. But like B-Freeze had stuff there, and there's been a bunch of people that have royaled that the rail, the wavy fence rail
thing. Yeah.
So and yeah, I mean, I thought that the edit was really good.
Yeah,
it looks like those are a bunch of dudes that would probably. Go out and grab a couple of beers and some tacos at the end of the session. And
no doubt, I
want to do that with them. That looks like it would be a great time.
Yeah. It looks like they've been out for a while. They skate everywhere. So, what I'll do. So, go to, the link isn't there now, but it'll be there when this is live, backtobillion.com/cruise. I think that's the best way to do it. CREWS. And I'll start listing all of the crews that we talk about. I'm not really sure how it's going to work, but what I want to make sure is that people can contact you if you're in the area. I actually got hit up by a guy early this week who saw my Southern California tour video and was like, hey, I just moved here, or I'm getting back into skating, and I saw your video, and I saw that there were a lot of guys out at that skate park near Riverside. What city was that? I forget what it was called. But that skate park that I went to, and, you know, Cletus was there, and Jason was there, and then the locals were there. Can you get me in contact with them? I want to skate. And I did, and now he's gone out like 3 times with them.
That's awesome.
So that's, like, awesome, right? I mean, it's like helping the community. It's like there are people out there skating. We just got to find them. You know, it's hard to find a Facebook group sometimes. So
yeah, it can be.
We will start this. So I think, you know, this is a good first group. I will get the website up this weekend, backtoblading.com/cruise. It'll be linked from the homepage as well. And I'll do some Instagram stuff to help promote. Submit a crew. Oh, we have another one we were going to talk about. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then there's
Shredpool. I was wrapping up.
And then there's Shredpool.
Yes.
Who did more than just send his own stuff. So, Blade Skilson sent us his YouTube channel. So,
yes.
So thanks, bud. We appreciate that. And it took us a couple minutes to find your friend video.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. We found it.
There's two of them.
There's a few friend videos. Okay. There's Shreddin' Friends, episode 1 and episode 2. I think episode 2 is my favorite. So that's the one that I will be posting. It is the New England crew. So, it's it's hard to get through what he wrote, but I know they skate up in New England. I will put them on the thing. That park I've seen that park before. Do you know what that park is?
Yeah, that's Skater's Edge. Well, Skater's Edge. A lot of it is Skater's Edge. Okay. I think some of it is also, there's another one in Massachusetts that the Creed Originals guys go to.
Okay.
Because I heard through the grapevine, this has not been confirmed by anybody, that there was some sort of a beef that happened with the people that own Skater's Edge and the Creed Originals guys.
What?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what it was. It's completely hearsay. Sure. I did not hear that from anybody at Creed Originals, so please don't take that as gospel.
Yeah.
If any of them happen to hear this and they want to talk on that subject, then please feel free to correct us. But yeah, a lot of that stuff, like the larger quarter pipe that Shredpool does a lot of really awesome tricks on, that's Skater's Edge. We went there 1 year for my birthday.
Oh, cool.
2013, I think it was. I remember that because I took a picture of Jamie Murrett sleeping in my car, that was one of the top memories for 2012 or 2013, whatever that was. And awesome. I thought that was kind of cool.
That's awesome.
And I remember I took the picture, I posted it, and I tagged him, and like Pete in the back, the Pete we talked about, who's down in Florida now, starts giggling, and Jamie wakes up and looks at his phone and sees the notification, opens it, and goes, "Hey!"
Awesome.
But that was a fun trip. I enjoyed that. But yeah, that was definitely a great skate park, and I wish that I'd gone there more than just once. It was worth the 2 hours to drive there.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I need to find time. I need more time.
Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe we can get you in touch with Dumbledore and get you a time turner.
Seriously,
I've been listening to that way too much lately. Because that's like I get tired of listening to music at work, so I listen to Harry Potter. I just finished Goblet of Fire again.
There you go. My wife listens to Harry Potter. It's nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, it's because she has great taste, clearly.
She has. I mean, she's married me, right?
Obviously.
There you go. Well, thanks both of you, Eric and Blade, the Shredder. I don't know if we're on that level of familiarity yet, but Mr. Shredpool.
Mr. Shredpool.
But This is awesome. I really appreciate it. We've got six more, so we've got until the end of the next couple of months. But please continue to contribute. If we get too many, we'll probably start bumping up more every episode. We don't want to turn this into the crew review episodes, but a couple, 2 to 3 a week, I think would be good. 2 or 3 a show. We definitely have some great people out there listening. So thanks again. I'll have that website up, backtobleeding.com/crews. Check it out and submit your crew if you haven't already.
Agreed. So what's up with Frankie?
Frankie. So this is a good one to end on.
Okay. Yeah, so I noticed that you didn't have a link here.
Well, I didn't put anything in there because I didn't want the Ben Gets Mad section to be all like telegraphed. So I, what was I doing? So I was looking at the, so what was it? It was the Roman Abrate Pro Skate. So the edit hit the USD YouTube channel. And I was looking at the USD YouTube channel and finding the most viewed videos on the most viewed videos on the YouTube channel. And like of the top 10, 8 of them are Frankie.
Wow.
And I just didn't understand. Like, and I mean that without any disrespect to Frankie. I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that that was such a thing. Like, and I was just wondering if you could shine some light into that. So let me hit you a link. Why is my browser not working? There it is. Videos. Sort by most popular. So yeah, I'm looking at most popular. The Richie Eisler one is the most popular because that was the one that went viral, right? The one with the brown skates in Canada.
Yep.
But then it's Frankie Carbon Pro with 269,000 views from 5 years ago. Frankie USD 2015 with 255,000. Frankie USD Carbon Pro Model 2014, 226,000. There's a Pro Team edit, which whatever. There's a Frankie USD 2013, Frankie USD Winter Spring 2015, Monte Carlos, and then Frankie again. And then Frankie. Like, Frankie is this huge thing. But for me, like, I don't see Frankie on my Instagram. You know, and I follow Frankie. Like, I don't see, like, for the last year and a half, I don't see him as part of the, like, he wasn't at Winter Clash, was he? Like, it's weird, right?
Well, so when Frankie left Remedies and then came over to USD, mm-hmm. he turned into an edit machine.
Okay.
Like, literally, you couldn't go a week without getting a new Frankie edit.
Wow, okay.
Well, maybe...
I believe that's 2 weeks, that's right? Whatever.
At least. Yeah. I mean, I'm using a little bit of hyperbole, but...
Sure.
I mean, it was seemingly every few days you'd see something new from Frankie or throwaway clips or B-roll or something like that.
Right.
That you would see, and it's like... It's like he came in and just said, you know what? I'm gonna follow the letter to this contract they made me sign or whatever it is. Like, yep. Like, we need you to do 3 edits a year and this and that. He's like...
Nope.
I'm going to do
3 edits a week.
I'm going to do 15 edits so I'm good for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I don't know what his motivation was. I think he was just trying to like put it out there like, look guys, I'm still here. I'm still doing awesome stuff. And I mean, if you look at some of those early videos from there, he had, you know, USD or UFS thrones. He had classic thrones. He had he had like regular carbons, carbon freeze, and he had his own carbons and everything like that. So he went through basically the entire gambit of what USD was offering and trying to market and just fucking did an edit and everything.
I'm impressed. I mean, so I knew Frankie, you know, through the ASA, through skating and everything. Amazing guy. Like, I don't know what he's like now. You know, people change and all that, but amazing guy, totally down to earth, totally like just normal. Like he's just a rollerblader. I definitely get the feeling, like from his edits and everything, that he's more like the thuggish, you know, with, he had the gold teeth back then, but he's definitely more that style of skating, which isn't my style, or that style of lifestyle, I guess, which isn't my style, but that's fine. Like, I know that he is a music artist now. Like he's really gotten into that zone, which is, you know, more power to him. I just didn't know that he was such a force in USD. Like, I missed all of that. You know, when I left, Frankie was still on Rollerblade.
Yeah.
So I missed, like, the whole Remedies thing. Was he on anything before Remedies? Like, he left Rollerblade and then what?
And then I think, pretty sure at that point, he went to Remedies.
Okay.
But then again, I mean, I don't really remember 100% sure. what else he did. I think that's all it was, but that doesn't, you know, I'm not the authority.
No.
Like, I think when I left, was he was still with Rollerblade in some capacity, and then he went to Remedies, and he left Remedies shortly after I got back into Blading in 2010.
Okay.
So, I mean, like, I was just like, huh, Remedies, interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, I'm really impressed. And his skating's great, you know? Like, his style is very distinctive. He, you know, kills spins. Like, he's always been about spins. And he's got a very unique, distinct style when he lands his tricks. I don't know. I was impressed. And that means a lot, because I never even thought about Frankie, like, aside from the whole Smilegate thing. Like, it never even crossed my mind until I stumbled on this channel, and I was like, holy shit, like, this guy's been, and maybe not now, like, the most recent thing is like a year ago, but like, he put in some work.
Absolutely, he definitely did. Especially right there, you know, like I was saying, when he first got on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he was just like, he had something to prove, or he just said, you know what, I'm going to do what they, you know, what they want me to do and more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really don't know, but I mean, he definitely did a lot more promo than it seems like he was expected to.
Yeah. Really, really crazy.
But I mean, it was good stuff. I mean, Frankie's skating always kind of rubbed me a weird way.
Sure. And
I don't want to say a bad way or anything like that, but like, there was certain things that he would do, or certain ways that he would hold himself during spins or something like that, that's just like, I couldn't really get behind.
Sure.
But I mean, like, the stuff that he's capable of is absolutely ridiculous. Like, he's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you take it apart, I mean, it's kind of like, if you look at, what's the guy who's now skating with them, who has a very unique look? Australian guy. God damn it, I can't remember his name.
CJ Wellsmore?
No. Ginger hair.
Australian with a ginger.
Anyway, he did the promo video.
Robbie Pitts.
God damn it. Sorry, Robbie.
Sorry, Robbie.
I can't remember. I'm old. Robbie Pitts. Like, if you take a look at his style, like the way that he dresses, or because it's not a normal, like, style. Just like Frankie's not a normal style. Like, and I don't mean normal as in it's weird. Like, I mean, normal as what you would normally see at the mall or something like that, or walking down the street. They're definitely off the normal path. But the skating, if you can look past the dress and the clothing and that style, the skating is still top-notch. Like, the stuff that Frankie was doing on these, I mean, he was doing these top, what was it? How do you get top horn? Like, true top horn, like, all those, like, there were some really good tricks, and I didn't know Frankie had it in him. You know, like, he was just killing it. I don't know. I was very surprising to me So I don't know that I ever said anything bad about Frankie, but I definitely take it back if I did. Like, you know, take your break. You know, you've got 4 years of crazy, and the numbers are crazy. 200 some K views. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he definitely made it a point to do social media pushes out there for sure. And I think that it was where he would put it out and just say, hey, check out my video.
Yep.
And then someone else would push it. Like, then maybe E-Rod would put it out too. Sure. And then, you know, Rashard and stuff like that. Like, yeah. The people that he was hanging out with,
yeah,
would share it. And they had large social media presences. So the next thing you know,
yeah,
you know, there's 15, you know, people that are talking about it, you know. But I mean, it's, I think even without that, it still would have done pretty well because, I mean, it's Frankie Morales and he's doing awesome stuff.
I agree. I hope that he keeps doing it. I know that Gods is a different thing. I don't know if Gods has his own channel. It wouldn't be part of USD, right? I'm not going to open that can of worms.
It's probably good that you said that because I was about to.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which way it would be. Like, I don't see any mention of Gods on the USD channel, but I shouldn't, right? But I should. You know what I mean? Yeah,
I would imagine probably not. Oh yeah. My god, look at those. Did you watch the Eugen carbon free promo that came out last month?
I don't know.
I'm and sure also, I suspect that new gray carbon free. Yeah. I think that was supposed to be Roman's pro skate, and he was just like, "Look, I really don't want a carbon. I want a 7 because that's what I skate."
You think so?
That's I suspect.
Huh?
Because it's exactly the same aesthetic between the two skates.
That's true. Inline warehouse. Let me bring that up. Not roller hockey. Inline Warehouse reshuffled their site a little bit, and it's harder to find things if you're going through aggressive and non-aggressive stuff. Carbon free. Oh, the gray carbon free team.
Yeah,
the new one. Yeah. Oh, that's such a good looking skate.
Hmm. Yeah, I could. There's a few skates that are out there that I could just stare at all day. That's one of them.
Yeah.
And then the new black carbon team.
Oh, I love that one. That's the one that I want.
Yeah, I mean it's a very classic silhouette too. That's yep. What the carbon 2 was when okay. They came out with the articulated cuff and everything.
Okay.
There might be a couple of different stitching lines on there, but that's essentially exactly what the carbon 2 was. And that was a great boot.
Looks yeah, so
I'd,
good.
I really hope they put that out in white too, because that would it'd be awesome.
Man. Someday.
God, it's got too many things that I want and not enough time to use them all.
story of my life.
Yep. Oh, those Aeon 80s. What do you think about those? Are you going to get some?
What do I think of them? Good question. I'm not going to get them. I don't see a need in my skating world for Aeon 80s. Do you happen to know what the wheelbase is for those? Let's see. Where's Aeon 80?
I'd say it's probably in the 260 range.
Probably Mark would know. Mark, yeah. Mark of all people would know. I don't see a wheelbase. Wait.
Usually on Inline Warehouse in the specs tab it'll tell you.
But I'm looking, but I don't see it. Yeah, I don't see it. Maybe Roller House.
No, I don't think they do.
I swear they have a
wheelbase.
Oh, they might not have a wheelbase, but
yeah, Roller Warehouse has never been the place that has really been concerned about that type of stuff.
Right, different vibe. Yeah, I don't see anything. I mean, they look like they're longer. I don't know. Again, I don't know what size the boot is, but if you're assuming an 80 mil wheel, my 80 mil Kaiser Arrows are like pretty close to each other. I mean, 80 plus 80 is 160 plus 160 is 320, right? So, I don't know. Math.
Well, but that's that's edge to edge. That's not center line.
That's not center line to center line, right?
Yeah. So a non grindable 80 millimeter is going to be 243. That's pretty much industry standard.
243 is industry standard, right?
Yeah. So with the Aeon 80s, you have a little bit of extra space between 1 and 2 and 2 and 3. So I'm going to guess you're probably around, you're at least 260, I would say, with that.
Okay.
At least. That's my guess.
260 is amazing. Here's my concern with the Aeon 80s. I don't know where an 80 mil wheel fits into my world. I think the 80 mil wheel is fun for free skating. But I really like my R100s. You know, I really like them. Are the Aeons rockerable?
Only by using different wheel sizes.
Okay. So that would be something that I'd be interested in doing. Because I feel like with big wheels like that, I like a little bit of a rocker. Especially if the wheelbase is longer. I mean, it's short. I don't know what need it fits.
Well, you know? if you really want to do that, just take your middle wheels out, bomb a hill in any rocker,
yeah,
and then put them back in.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, what does a flat 80 do? A flat 80 for me is like urban, like skating around the city. I think I could have more fun on a flat 80 setup than I could on a flat 100, like an R100. But would I do that? See, I wouldn't ride stairs on a tri-skate. I mean, why not? But I wouldn't. Would you ride stairs on a tri-skate?
I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm too afraid to ride stairs nowadays.
Well, okay.
I mean, but if I was, it definitely would not be in an anti-rocker setup.
No.
I think an ideal would probably be a flat 72 or 76.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah. I'm just trying to fit where this 80 Aeon would fit into my life. It's not a grinding skate, obviously.
Shenanigans, but okay.
What? You're not going to do groove tricks with that skate?
It's possible.
You're not going to do groove tricks with that skate?
That's not the point.
I'm just saying, what am I going to do with these skates? I couldn't even Royale with a 72s.
Is there a bowl near you?
There is a bowl next to me, yes. Not next to me, but at a skate park near me.
That would be a fantastic application for those.
Oh. But
does that mean that's where you need to take them? Not necessarily. You have plenty of other tools in your toolbox.
Yeah, that's like
that you can use in a bowl.
I think that would be my Aeon 70s. Bitter groove. Like, am I gonna tell the difference between a 72 and a 80? Maybe.
A little bit. Probably more so on your landings or higher speed cornering, but
yeah.
But just standing around, probably not as much.
And man, I loved those Aeon 72s. They were so good to ride. Like, they just felt so solid. And the wheelbase was great. I don't think I'm going to get 80s. Are you?
I'd like to, but I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take me to convince the wife of me to spend $300 on another pair of skates.
Yeah, like, for you, I mean, you need to get yourself some UFS, something that you love. And whether that's hopping up your shadows or figuring out something else, like, you need something that can ride UFS.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I just want something. Like, I don't even care if it's SLs at this point.
Yeah.
Well, I probably would, actually, now that I think about it.
I don't think you want SLs.
But I mean, like, I want something that I can, Genesis. I can get some Genesis for $170 on Inline Warehouse. I don't know why I'm even bothering. That's a dumb idea. I hated them when I had them before.
You don't want those.
No, I definitely don't.
You love your Aeons. You're fine with Aeons. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with Aeons. I'm just thinking UFS is. If you want to try new things, you have to have UFS. Because by definition, you're stuck with the Aeon frame if you're on an Aeon. That's the benefit of the Aeon, but that's what you've got.
Yeah, that's the benefit, but that's also the detractor.
Yes. Yes, agreed. I think
Solos are on sale too.
Oh, were they on sale at Inland Warehouse?
$229 Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We talked about that. Yeah, that's a good price.
It really is.
$229 Is there a boot only? Is there a boot only? No, probably not.
It doesn't. I don't think they really sell a lot of boot onlys at Inland Warehouse.
No, I don't think so either. I've seen a couple, but I don't think they have many.
Yeah, usually with USD is where they do the more the boot onlys. Mm-hmm. But versus Majestic 12s are $150
Oh, that's cheap. Oh, we didn't talk about the Majestic 12s. I don't know why I didn't put that on the list.
I feel like I shared that with you.
I know.
With the intention that you would.
I don't know why I didn't.
I also didn't specifically say, let's talk about this.
No, no, no. I mean, we should have.
But we still can.
We still can. We've got time. The tape is still running. the Majestic 12. Where is the link? Oh, it was on Instagram, wasn't it? I'm still bitter about the Rosie's Instagram account. I saw a post somewhere. Who was it on Facebook, I think, somewhere? Somebody was talking shit on the Rosie's Instagram. Maybe it was on Facebook somewhere. But I'm not alone. If you look through the Rosie's Instagram, I'm just gonna link. Are you on the Rosie's Instagram? I'll link you to it if you're not. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead and link me to it.
Let me link you to it because there's some stuff going down on that Instagram. So, first three pictures. Okay, they're sponsoring a contest. Awesome. They're showing some girl doing a soyal on a rail. Great, like it's a cool shot. They actually tagged the person Top Soul Torque. That's what they call it. So I don't know. Maybe it's a Top Soul Torque. I don't know what that trick is called. That's not really the trick name, but that's fine. So whatever. And then there's really cool like cuff. So they are introducing the Majestic 12, reintroducing it as the Low White. So the Low White is a white boot, white sole plate, black Rosie's frame, which is actually a Volo frame, but it has a Rosie's logo without the brick middle. But don't, you okay, Ben?
Oh yeah, I'm good.
So it's actually the Volo frame, but it's the Rosie's frame because it says Rosie's on it, so it's the Rosie's frame. But it's the same frame. I don't know what the anti-rocker wheels look like, but the outsides have the Majestic 12. They're the white wheels with the white. They're probably the same Volo wheels, to be completely honest, with different paint.
Yeah, probably.
But they look cool. I mean, I love this Rosie's look. Like, this is the classic look. Just a clean white boot. The black cuff with the black hang, like, holder hook thing in the back so you can carry your skates with the red Rosie's logo on it. And they've got the cuff that I love. That buckle is awesome. Have you ever skated with that buckle?
The memory buckle, yeah.
The memory buckle, that is such a great design. God, why don't more people do stuff like that? So good.
Well, people have adapted that buckle and strap to other cuffs before.
Okay.
I just really don't want to cut my skates apart to do it.
No, you don't need to. So anyway, so scrolling through Rosie's, that's awesome, right? And then you see them embroidering the cuff pole, which is just cool. You know, it's like classic Rosie's is coming back. Here we are. We're ramping up production. A box of wheels kind of doesn't make sense, but that's fine. And then there's some girl with her ass hanging out, sitting on some coping at a skate park wearing quad skates.
Yeah.
Ass is hanging out at a skate park wearing quad skates.
That just reminds me of a Louis C.K. bit. And he's like, you stupid, irresponsible bitches. I want to put a t-shirt on you and send you home.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. The comments on the Instagram are great. I wouldn't sit there with a naked ass, Hadley says.
It's going to get waxed a little bit, but
Blading Camille says, WTF, .. So you need to be naked to rollerblade now, ?
Yeah. I mean, like,
what are they doing? There's another one where a girl is holding two skates with her low-cut top, okay? So that's all visible. She's not skating or anything. She's wearing leather pants, just holding skates. Like, I just don't like it. I don't like it. And I might be old, but I just don't. I want to see skating. I want to see product. I want to see girls skating, but like killing it. Like this first girl who's doing, you know, the torque sole, the true torque or whatever she's doing. Like, I love that. You know, definitely there are some incredible girls out there who skate. Like, let's give them a spotlight. Don't show the ass hanging out. Like, I don't need that.
Yeah, exactly. And there's very specific times where that's necessary. But when
not in the skate park. Am I wrong? Yeah,
exactly. And I agree with that. Like you're there for something specific.
Yes.
And it's not, you know.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. I mean, more because like it. I feel like it more makes the marketing end of rollerblading look silly. Look immature, look unprofessional almost. So like to me it's just like I'd rather see them if they're gonna feature, you know, a bladey, doing a nice backslide or a fish brain or something like that, or if she's wearing shorts that are short, like it's not the picture's fine. It's not an angle where you can see upper. No, like,
yeah, I don't want to see crack. Like, that's just not the right. That's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. For this marketing tool, I would say it's wrong. Like, if someone wants to take some boudoir type pics in a pair of rollerblades, please feel free. I'm not here to stop you.
Right, do your thing.
Yeah, it shouldn't be something that an OEM should be using as promotional content.
Correct. That's where I get frustrated.
Who was I just going to talk? I was just going to talk about someone. A bladey. Erin Gates? Is that her name?
I don't know her.
Why am I? Yes, Erin Gates. This girl rips. You don't know about Erin Gates?
Oh, I don't think so.
Let me school you on Erin Gates.
Is Instagram?
Yes, she's on Instagram. Sent you a link.
Got it.
So this girl is really, really good at rollerblading.
Oh, she skates vert too.
I don't know about. I don't think that's close to vert. I don't think that's technically vert.
Yeah, it's a quarter pipe, but still.
Yeah. So she skated for SSM. She skated for NIM. She skated for Shadow. I think she was flow for most of these companies, and she was getting a lot of product.
Sure.
And, you know, deservedly so. I mean, she's extremely talented. And she, I think she does it right. You know, she has good setups that she posts pictures of and everything like that. Like, she's got those Volley the Stranges, those white ones.
Mm-hmm.
Those look really good. She was skating, what was the last stuff before that? But,
I see her in some Aeons. I'm totally lurking through her Instagram right now. She's ripper.
Yeah, she's really good. She's
good airs. Jeez, good airs.
Yeah, she's very, very capable. And that's
awesome.
And I mean I think she does it right when it comes to
top horn.
You know balancing what Rosie seems to be trying to do with their Instagram.
Yeah.
And what she does. You know, there's definite I think, just like you're saying there, I think Rosie's is just missing the mark with what they're trying to do.
I just, I don't know who they're marketing to. I think that's the question. Like, if they're marketing to teenage boys, that's fine, but I don't think that's Rosie's market. Like, I don't know.
What market is there for for that? I mean, unless you're trying to market to dudes that used to rollerblade back in the day and...
No, but they're not. I don't think they're following Rosie's on social, right?
Probably not.
For the off chance that they'll see some cleavage. Like, it doesn't, that's not, like, there's easier ways to see that. Like, just, I think showing some women who kill it, like this Erin Gates or China or, like, I mean, there was the whole Bladies edit of Winter Clash. There are some killer women out there that skate, like, flow them, like, get them some product, get them some coverage. Like, there's no reason this isn't a man's sport. You know, it's not. We're all inclusive. Like, if you want to skate, come skate. You know,
I agree.
I don't know. I promise not to talk about Rosie's next podcast unless they do something stupid again.
Well, if history is going to repeat itself, which it typically does,
probably will.
There probably will be something silly that they're going to post here shortly.